This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for April 1st, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this story from Tom Thompson. Let's go get high on hemp. Hemp processors have reportedly been buying excess flower and distillate currently on the market to make Delta HTHC. Hemp Today, March 29th, 2021. Will transforming hemp-based CBD into mildly psychoactive Delta 8 THC save industrial hemp production? It's complicated. The common wisdom is that a person does not need to get high smoking industrial hemp leaves, stems, or flowers. We have been following news reports, including those from Pan Exchange's monthly benchmarks reports, about the growing interest in smokable hemp flower. While the hemp flower, particularly from specialty strains, is known to carry heavy concentrations of non-psychotropic CBD, it turns out that a lot of the demand for smokable hemp flower is associated with the practice of coating it with Delta 8 THC. Marijuana, industrial hemp's popular sibling, distinguishes itself from industrial hemp by containing at least 0.3% Delta 9 THC. The presence of sufficient Delta 9 THC makes marijuana a controlled substance. For the most part, laws don't mention Delta 8 THC. As you might expect, Delta 8 THC and 9 THC are chemically similar. To read the rest of the story, you can find it on johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. Happy April 1st or April Fool's Day. No one has listed vibranium futures, which I still think would be a great April Fool's joke. Here is the best one from the JLN team's search, the newest in police dogs, small area evacuation dogs. Billy Osimos, the manager of Ceres Cafe in the lobby of the CBOT building for 26 years, announced his retirement to JLN on Wednesday. He is ending his career in financial district restauranteering that began when he was 6 years old in 1964, when he would peel potatoes for Orlando's, his father's restaurant at the corner of Wells and Van Buren Street. I first met Billy when he worked for his father, and I was 17 and working as Tom Cashman's driver, and I would join Tom and several traders for breakfast at a big round table at Orlando's. Our college years would intersect at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana, where Billy was a senior when I was a freshman, and where his father, George, played college football. Osimos was a constant presence at Ceres at the CBOT building, as the restaurant served as a catering venue for the building, and Ceres hosted many corporate events. In fact, John Lothian News profiled Osimos in 2016 and gave him the moniker, "The Face of Ceres." It was our most read story of 2016. Ceres is famous for its stiff drink. 4 ounces of booze in every drink. This boozy tradition was started by Jack Bowling, who owned the Sign of the Trader bar that preceded Ceres in the CBOT building space and wanted to make his mark. The Sign of the Trader did more cash bar business than any bar in Chicago back in the day. 1986, Bowling sold his stake to Lou Bernakis, who is 95 and still going strong. Osimos was at one time a trader, but said he made more money from his memberships than from trading and gave up pit trading to take over managing Ceres. He and his wife hope to return to traveling as soon as the pandemic allows. All of the JLN team wishes Billy well. Steptoe, GRW, and Lexology are holding a webinar on Thursday, April 8th, 2021, from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on navigating cryptocurrency enforcement framework from U.S. DOJ and regulators, domestically and abroad. You can register with a link in today's newsletter. The latest research from the New York Stock Exchange examines NYSE opening auction volume growth and order entry behavior. It says buyers and sellers are meeting earlier in the NYSE opening auction, and key points include the opening auction remains a key liquidity event across sectors. Opening auction share of volume has grown the most in some sectors, e.g. healthcare, which have seen their share of market volume fall. Also, auction volume is pairing up earlier in the morning, providing a valuable liquidity indicator to the market. Here are the upcoming product launches by the CME Group on Globex. Ukrainian wheat, Platts futures and options starts trading on April 11th. E-mini NASDAQ 100, Monday and Wednesday options on April 11th. And freight route TC18 Baltic futures begin on April 25th. Also, freight route liquefied petroleum gas BLPG3 Baltic futures start trading on April 25th as well, and micro Bitcoin futures on May 2nd. EEX Group is holding a digital conference with the theme of Building Markets Together 2021 on April 15th at 6 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Central Time. CME Group is looking for an employee communications manager for their Chicago office. The World Federation of Exchanges has published a research paper on global circuit breaker practices. The paper, the first of a two-part series, examines and analyzes the kind of circuit breakers and other safeguards that are most prevalent among exchanges today and how they were used during the recent COVID-19 related events. There were no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. I've opened a small brokerage account on the trading app Public to join the Stock Trading Game Gang. More on this to come. Boy, everyone is trying to make a cryptocurrency these days. The children's television show Teletubbies are releasing a cryptocurrency. Not really, April Fools. The company that owns the Teletubbies intellectual property, Wildbrain, announced that the power of HugTech, the fake cryptocurrency, employs cutting-edge cryptography to convey the inherent value of big hugs in the form of exchangeable TubbyCoin Big Hub tokens. To mine these tokens, users on social media must write a post to someone they know who needs a hug, and that post must be accompanied with the hashtag TubbyCoin. The fake announcement has some truth to it, however. Wildbrain says that they are donating $5,000 to the charity Kids Help Phone and will add $1 to their donation for every Teletubby coin hashtag that is shared on social media, up to a maximum of $10,000. I've seen a lot of crypto-related hoaxes in my day, but this one is by far the funniest, Matt Rabel reports. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a video, JLN takes a deeper dive into NYSE Group Retail Liquidity Program's research report with Kevin Tyrell. Kevin Tyrell is the head of research for NYSE. He and his team of researchers and economists were intrigued by the market activity during an unprecedented surge in the price of GameStop shares during January 25th to 29th, 2021, and they wanted to see how different OTC trading platforms responded to the order flow, including NYSE's retail price improvement programs. To watch this video, you can find it on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Financial Times. We cannot afford to vaccinate the world if governments have to choose between jabbing their voters or doing the right things. We know what choice they'll make. In Soweto, South Africa, 20 years ago, the roadsides were lined with advertising boards for funeral companies. Mutang Funeral Directors, we salute the spirit of Ubuntu. You could choose 21st century funeral brokers or give your loved ones a Rasta burial. Drugs to save people with HIV already existed at the time. Unfortunately, poor countries couldn't afford them and millions kept dying. We are brothers and sisters, and we must take care of each other, is my comment. Here is a story from Bloomberg. COVID isn't over and the next wave may be worse. It's too early to talk about the coronavirus in past tense, even with more widespread vaccinations. The worst outbreaks are accelerating in places least equipped to deal with them. With vaccines spreading through rich companies at gathering speed and lockdown restrictions weakening with the spring sunshine, it's tempting to believe that the long nightmare of COVID-19 is finally ending. In the UK, 58% of the adult population has received at least one dose of vaccine. In the US, President Joe Biden has doubled an original goal of administering 100 million shots in the first 100 days of office, which would bring the total to 200 million by the end of April. On Google, the search term after COVID has been getting more interest than COVID symptoms for the past month, suggesting the world is thinking more about what life will be like when things return to normal. My comment, watch all the numbers. Here is a story from the Financial Times. PE groups raise more than $20 billion from loan investors to fund dividends. Payouts through such deals reach record quarterly highs after vigorous investor demand. Private equity groups, including Ares and Golden Gate Capital, have raised more than $20 billion in the U.S. leveraged loan market through the companies they own to award themselves a bumper payday. My comment, something in my gut says that sounds a lot like a Ponzi scheme of a different stripe. Here's a story from Monde Visione. $100 trillion non-fungible fish token, NFFT, saves the global economy. Zyen, the City of London's leading commercial think tank, has issued a non-fungible token in order to save the global economy. A non-fungible token, NFT, is a unit of data on a distributed ledger that represents some unique item or portion of an item. In the case of many NFTs, they represent part of a digital item, e.g., 1/1 millionth or so of a photo or work of art. Fungible means each unit is interchangeable. For example, a unit of currency or cryptocurrency is fungible. Non-fungible means the token represents a specific or portion of an item. My comment, there's something fishy about this foolish early April story. Here is a story from the Wall Street Journal. If people aren't bored anymore, what happens to the stock market? Latest rounds of stimulus checks hasn't translated into retail stock purchases, partly because people are starting to have better things to do. Many on Wall Street turned to the boredom market hypothesis to explain the stunning rally of the last year. Bereft of travel and other pursuits, stimulus check recipients gambled on hot stocks ranging from GameStop to electric vehicle startups. As economies reopen, investors will need to grapple with the consequences of more people spending their checks outdoors. My comment, I am bored. Here is Wednesday's top three most read stories. The most read story on Wednesday was the Wall Street Journal's highly informative, What is the Total Return Swap and How Did Archegos Capital Use It? The second most popular was from Investor's Business Daily, No High Fives Rule Keeps Tastytrade CEO Grounded. And the third most read was another Wall Street Journal story on Archegos. Archegos' collapse is a wake-up call for regulators. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.